Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Blinn and Martin Moore.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee, the future of almost everything. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing. First, I got to mention, kudos to Molson Coors and the Brewers rolling in that stroller in the clubhouse, putting the Coors Edge front facing. That marking opportunity was so perfect. Jackson Chourio, only 20, enjoying a little NA beverage. A great, great moment last night as the Brewers clinched the division. Now onward to the World Series. Going to be a fun fall in Milwaukee and Wisconsin for sure. All right, Commerce Community Analysis on local and national business issues. That's what we do on this big show. Today on the list, something new at Cost Headphones. Martin's got the scoop on that. Phoenix versus Milwaukee. Movies. Are we perpetually stuck in this sequel movie economy? Maybe we'll talk a little bit about Red Lobster and self-driving cars and Uber. When will it get to Wisconsin? But first, as we do each and every show on the upswing, we need to go two up.
Now it's time for the
2
up on the upswing.
Another long live restaurant in Mequon. I know, Martin, you're a big fan of Libby Montana.
It broke my heart. It broke my heart.
After 24 years in business on Donjus Bay Road, it's just off of Highway 57. Donjus Bay Road has closed after 24 years. But Mequon fans, actually the whole North Shore area, Libby Montana is going to go Ice Baby, an ice rink, which was truly needed in the North Shore. This is a story from JS Online and got some additional information from the Mequon Planning Commission. A new indoor ice skating facility and remodeled restaurant operated by the Stillery. The Stillery has locations in Richfield and Grafton, is coming to the former Libby Montana space in Mequon. The new plans come from Commerce Street Holdings. They are tied to Tan Lowe, who is tied to Barrett Lowe Visionary Development, who is the developer at the Modern and the Couture downtown Milwaukee. So expect high-end, high-impact development here in Mequon. A new restaurant, an ice skating rink, kind of a smaller regulation size ice skating rink, they said to the council. But little side note here, as we'll be talking movies down the road, obviously Libby Montana was owned by Animal House actor Mark Metcalf and his ex-wife, Libby Wick. They split in 2000, but the restaurant obviously continued. Next up, custard. I'm going all food with two up here. Have you seen Custard MKE? This new online database that compiles all the custard places in the area.
No.
And really? Gives you the flavor of the day.
I can't wait till I have that kind of time someday to like create a website that
totally crowdsource.
Catalogs all the custard. And is it just Wisconsin or like?
It's just greater Milwaukee and Wisconsin.
That's
yes.
Brilliant.
But just yesterday, they added all of the southeastern Wisconsin Culver's locations. So Custard MKE, an online database and map where custard lovers can find the flavor of the day. There's 50 places on the app now and on the website. Really cool. Just developed by a guy in Pewaukee, a developer on the side. He posted on Reddit, said, "We need something." Everyone chimed in with their locations, and boom,
done.
Custard MKE was developed.
So
that
do we need a custard passport, sort of like the Urban Bourbon Trail?
Oh,
a custard passport where you...
Does Visit Milwaukee have a custard passport?
I bet you they're going to.
I don't think they have one yet.
15 minutes.
Yeah, they
will. All right. There's our idea. All right. Custard MKE. By the way, I looked up custard prices. One scoop at Culver's, $2.89. Single scoop at Cops, $3.50. But you can go
They load it up, though. They load it up.
Up. But two scoops, $4.75.
For two
scoops? You're just going to go for the two.
Go two.
For two scoops?
Oh, my gosh.
That is value for sure. This is the upswing. It's the future of almost everything. What is happening with Waymo's plans for self-driving cars? Atlanta and Austin are up next. How long do we have to wait here in Milwaukee? This is the upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. It's the future of almost everything. The WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. Are you ready for self-driving cars? So I'm putting together a full show for a couple weeks on Uber, the payment structure, the pricing in the future. But for now, look at last week. Uber shares rallied over 6% on the news that Waymo plans to use its app to offer self-driving cars in more markets, including Atlanta and Austin. But there are many markets already that have the self-driving taxi service, if you will, including Phoenix, where you just were, Martin.
I was just there watching the Brewers.
Yes. So what do we think about the impact of self-driving technology, not only possibly on our market, but just on our money in the future? Are you ready for it, Martin?
Oh, man, it freaks me out. Like, I didn't take it, but all of my cousins did. And, like, they were sending me, like, Snapchats and videos, and I was just watching it. Nobody in the driver's seat. No human being talking through a speaker. You're just at the mercy of the cameras and the technology and the machine learning. And it was like,
Nope.
I don't know.
What is the use case? I still don't know
the use
case. To not
pay human beings.
To not have humans drive and not have to pay a human to do that.
It's the same thing. It's the same argument as airline travel. You know, people are afraid to fly, but they forget that, you know, you have a better chance of getting struck by lightning than being in an airline accident.
Right.
Self-driving cars are inherently more safe than human drivers. That mental hurdle is going to be really tough for us to get over.
Is that true?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
100%.
Yeah.
So that's what's driving
safer.
It? Safety?
Safety. Convenience. You don't have to pay employees, so you know it's much cheaper than if you pay a taxi driver. Because I don't know, there's myriad reasons why I think it's gonna take off. I still don't know that I want to get in one. Maybe I'm a boomer, and
I know
I'm afraid.
I'm the old
guy.
Do we
think it's a big market?
Oh, for sure.
Adoption thing first, where you know the use case is highways, where you're going from A to B, and there's not a whole lot of disruption.
No, I think it's everywhere. I mean, when I was in Phoenix, they were everywhere. They were taking you to Culver's. They were taking you to the airport. They were taking you to the movie theater, anywhere you wanted to go. They were everywhere. So you couldn't walk a block without seeing two or three of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so much to think about when you look at, you know, not only the disruption in the transit space, but what about auto insurance in the future? Are we going to have fewer accidents? I mean, I think that's where we're heading.
Think about it. Think about a human driver versus something that's autonomous. Those cars all talk to each other, so they know when another one is coming. Same thing with, I believe, Teslas do the same thing, too. So now you take away distracted drivers. You take away, two cars. Two of those Waymo cars aren't going to hit each other in an intersection because they know their proximity. And there's just so many factors, safety factors, that just get eliminated with the self-driving that I think they're going to become more and more ubiquitous because they are. They're safer.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a challenge in smaller markets where you have more congestion, just more obstacles. But I could see, I mean, we took 3 years to adopt the scooters in downtown.
Sure.
Really took a process to get there. Now, hey, maybe we find a destination that self-driving cars only go from downtown to the airport.
Sure.
That's where we start and see how it goes.
Milwaukee's going to be tough. I don't see self-driving cars coming to Milwaukee in any large capacity anytime soon, just because of, one, the weather, which inhibits the cameras from being able to see lines in the road. But the big one is the construction. That really throws the cameras off when there's barrels and lanes shift and change and end and open up. And as smart as they are, they still get very easily confused by that kind of stuff. So I think it might be a while.
Yeah. I think it's, I don't know, we take a slower approach to the Midwest on these things, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's more, but it's thoughtful, and it's coming no matter what.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, the cost savings, the productivity, I think, is another thing to look at. Like,
work,
if you're taking
work while your car's driving.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Well, Tesla wants to do that. They want to, I don't know if they were going to pay users or whatever the program was, but basically they would unlock the self-driving feature in your Tesla for free. And then while you're at work, while you're sleeping, your Tesla can go out and give people rides and you can make money. And then Tesla takes a cut of that. Kind of genius.
Yeah, that's pretty smart.
Always creative ways to drive additional revenue.
Right.
Yes.
Little, what's your side hustle? My Tesla drives people.
My car.
Well, no matter what, if you're driving in a carless, in a driverless car, you probably have headphones on because you're a little scared and you're like, get me there, get me there. New headphones from COS. What's the price? What's the process? Martin Moore has the full scoop for us when we come back. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ.
I could take a beating like a good pair of headphones. I can take a hit like Karate Kid. You could learn a lot from a good pair of headphones.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, the future of almost everything from the 920. Just to put a loop on our last conversation, without a doubt, limiting distracted driving, limited drunken driving, that could be a big impact of driverless cars. I want a driverless car to take me to a supper club,
yes.
Says Jason in Fond du Lac.
Jason in Fond du Lac is the smartest person on planet Earth.
Very good. So, Martin, COS.
I know a little bit about them.
Located right here in beautiful Milwaukee, the creator of the first stereo phone in 1958,
sure.
Right? Celebrating 40th anniversary of the COS Porta Pro. A new generation of this just came out. How's the debut going? Walk us through the process. What are we paying for this new product, and where is it available?
So the Porta Pro, it came out in 1984.
Okay,
it was one of the first headphones that sort of propelled like personal portable listening. Before the Porta Pro, most headphones were big over-ear headphones that you plug into
like
your record
what we're
player.
Wearing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then these came out, amazing quality, you know, a killer price, and you know they collapsed. They were very portable. And we've been selling them for 40 years, and we've changed virtually nothing on them. We've added microphones and audio controls and some other things, but now we completely cut the cord on them. All the circuitry, the microphone controls, everything is built inside these tiny little headphones that were never intended to have circuit boards and USB-C and all that stuff. They're $99.
Okay.
They sound just like the original ones. You can use them wired if you want. So if you forget to charge your headphones, which we all do, you can plug them in. But they're selling incredibly quick. So.
Nice. So what's the market segment here for this product for COS?
They really sort of sit on their own shelf.
Okay.
They're an on-ear headphone, and there's just not a whole ton of on-ear headphones to begin with. There's very, very few, if any, truly wireless on-ear headphones. And so they don't really compete with other in-ear true wireless buds or over-ear headphones. They're really in a category of their own. A lot of people like them because they don't like earbuds because it makes them feel like they're underwater. A lot of people don't like big, heavy headphones like we're wearing. So these are a really nice medium where you can't feel them. They're super light. They rest on your ears. You can sort of hear the world around you, and you know they've been popular for 40 years for a reason.
Yeah,
so we're super excited to launch them. They launched on Monday.
Okay,
and it's been cool. It's been a neat process to watch the development of these things.
Right.
I didn't think they were going to be able to do
it. Birth a new product and figure out how to promote it and protect it and position it in the right way,
which is my job.
How's that stress level going over there?
The stress is coming down. I didn't sleep for like a month on the lead up to it.
So, Steve, are you a earbud Apple? Like, what's your device?
Be careful with the words you pick.
Martin in the room. I prefer over the ear.
Okay,
If at all possible. I don't like my AirPods because I just have issues with them consistently connecting, and I don't like the feeling of them. So I buy them. I had the AirPod Pros.
Yeah,
gave them to my kid.
Okay.
But I love COS for so many reasons. Not just the quality of the headphones, all the benefits you get with it. And by the way, they're right down the road.
Right.
Absolutely. And all the wired headphones have a limited lifetime warranty. So, you know, you break them or, you know, your dog chews them or something like that. You come to the store, get them replaced or send them in.
I've done that.
Everyone knows I'm huge on civic pride and shopping local, and I've felt this affinity to Costco even before I knew you, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Costco is my go-to, and it's cool to see it continue on generations, because it's not, you're not a huge company, but you're based in this beautiful technology that was created right here.
In Milwaukee.
Here.
And a lot of people don't realize.
They take it for granted. They don't even know.
That the stereo headphone was invented here in Milwaukee. Yes. Every headphone you've ever had that has a left and a right.
Yeah.
Here, Milwaukee, 1958.
I have the Kost Bluetooth earbud, and I think they work perfectly.
Nice. Yeah,
and
I tried to get some of those, but
I put one through the laundry the other day, took it out, and it was still working.
Did
so
it?
You can put that on my
I'll tell that to the engineers.
There you go. Yes. So what are you seeing quickly for holiday sales? Are you getting a sense that consumers want deals on products and technology?
They always do. And we always run, some of our big, every year we've been ramping up the deals, but we have some really, really good deals during Black Friday and Cyber Monday and all the holidays and stuff. So if money's tight and you still want some headphones or some gifts for some people, you know, there's always sales to look forward to during the holidays.
All right. Very good. So when we come back, Hollywood's been producing a dizzying amount of reboots and prequels and remakes and sequels. It's all reboot all the time. Familiar stories, they sell without a doubt. We'll talk about the sequel economy in movies. What was the last movie we saw? We'll survey some of our teammates here at Good Karma Brands and talk about the movie economy and much, much more. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, I'm Jeff Sherman. What is the future of the movie economy? It sure seems like we are in this perpetual reboot, sequel, reboot, sequel, reboot, sequel. That's what we want to see. Familiar stories, they sell for sure. Just pulling some numbers. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice did $11,278 per screen last week. It was in 4,575 screens. That's
a few bucks.
$51.5 million for a reboot of a movie that I remember I saw for the first time and I didn't really enjoy it.
I've never seen it.
But let's see. What was the last movie you saw? Why did you see it? We asked a bunch of our teammates here at Good Karma Brands. And here's what we found out.
What are the last three movies you've seen in theaters?
Oh, does Mel count? The one that Craig Carmazin's dad? I think that was the last time I was in a movie theater. It was a company outing. And then maybe like Avengers Endgame. It's been a long time. I don't have a third.
Okay, that's fine.
Oppenheimer.
My daughter and I saw Twisters, my son and I saw Deadpool and Wolverine, and the third one, I have no idea.
I don't know. Inside Out 2, I think that might be it for like the last year.
What was Craig's movie?
Mel?
Yeah, Mel, is that the name of it?
That's what Strove said.
Okay, Barbie and Dune 2.
I haven't been in movies for a long time. I take my kids a lot, though, so I'll say, I think Despicable Me 4. I think Saltburn was the last, like, adult movie I saw in the theater, and then probably Napoleon.
Deadpool 2, Avengers Endgame, and Dunkirk.
Dumb Money, it was the last movie I saw before I had a baby. It was, like, our last date night. As far as actually going to see something, but I feel like that was one of the pieces of advice I got before I had a baby. It's like, go see movies, because it's not going to be the thing you want to waste a babysitter on, is to go to the theater.
Twisters. I don't know.
You know,
it's been like a decade. I hate going to movie theaters.
I go see a lot of movies at Milwaukee Film Festival, but that was in the spring, so I know I've seen movies since then. I saw Saltburn at Thanksgiving. I remember that. That left a mark.
I fell asleep with Furiosa. Not kidding. My husband was so mad at me. Deadpool and Wolverine was so good. I stayed up for that entire thing. It was so good.
Twister, Bob Marley, Wakanda Forever. That's what I saw.
Yes. Marcel the Shell, Top Gun.
It Ends With Us, Anyone But You.
I think probably a James Bond movie.
So I just saw the movie called
See No Evil. The second to last movie from there, I saw Don't Blink Twice or Blink Twice, something like that. And then lastly, was Deadpool vs. Wolverine.
The last three movies I saw in theaters are Bad Boys 4, Deadpool vs. Wolverine, and or Deadpool and Wolverine, and
Doom 2, the new Deadpool Wolverine movie, and what is the third? Oh man. Oh, Furiosa, which was really good. Oh,
gosh, okay. Deadpool and Wolverine. Deadpool and Wolverine and Deadpool and Wolverine.
You saw it three times?
No, I didn't. I have to think about this for a second because I've seen a lot of movies this year. Oh, Inside Out 2.
Oh.
That was really good. Oh my gosh, Alien Romulus, which was really good.
Was it?
I'm surprised. I liked it a lot. So, honestly, it's been a really good movie summer.
Black Panther. The original?
No, the second one. Probably Avengers. And I don't know. I don't go to movies very often.
I can't remember the last three, but the last movie I saw was Reagan. I just saw Reagan. It was fantastic. The one I saw before that was the Brewers documentary. I saw it in the Marcus Theater just a bit outside. Great movies, both inspiring. I laughed, I cried, I was happy.
I saw the Miles Morales movie, the Spider-Man movie this summer, or last summer, or this summer, I'm not sure.
It was last summer, most likely.
Okay, wow, yeah, then it was last summer. Ooh. The Dunes movie, I think it was Dunes 2. That one was pretty good.
Okay, this is Kristen Bri coming back because I remembered more recently the last movie in the theater I saw was Deadpool and Wolverine.
What was the last Avengers movie?
Endgame.
I saw that one. Yeah, I know. That's I don't go out in public, Jaslyn.
The variety there, just for context. Avengers Endgame came out in 2019. The lifetime domestic adjusted gross is almost at $900 million for Endgame. Wow. So sequels matter in the movie business. I'm looking, the last big movie I saw in the theaters was the second Top Gun Maverick. We went to the Taylor Swift movie because I have a 12-year-old and she wanted to bring all of her friends, and that was a wonderful experience. I like those experience-based movies. That gets my money to the theater. How about you, Steve?
I can't even remember the last time I was in the theater.
All right.
Martin? Oppenheimer. And before that, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I just don't go to theaters anymore.
Yeah.
The experience just feels very dated to me.
I don't mind the experience when I'm thinking back to the last time I was there. I just don't like movies. But the experience seems to be cool because I'll just order a pizza and sit there and eat the pizza and watch the movie.
Mm-hmm.
What I really liked about movies was, did you ever go to Fox Bay when it was open before the pandemic?
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite places. You like sat at an actual like table, like at a restaurant, and they played the movie. You had drinks, you had food. I don't particularly like sitting in a big armchair with popcorn, trying to pretend like I'm at home when I'm not really at home.
It's so awesome.
That just doesn't do it for me.
Really? Yeah.
No, I really like a sort of restaurant experience where I can get cocktails. You get a server that comes to you. I would go to way more movies if I had an experience like that.
Without a doubt. The movie business has changed dramatically. You know what else has? Red Lobster. But there's a new CEO at Red Lobster, so we have ideas when we come back. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. It's the future of almost everything. Quick mention here. ACT Housing Neighborhoods Table event is tonight. It's their annual signature event that celebrates the impact of ACT Housing with ACT families and all of their community supporters. It's a family-friendly celebration, a night that takes over the Deer District and going to give guests this renewed sense of community and pride, opportunity to learn more about programs and services offered by ACT Housing, ways to support its mission that empowers people to enter home ownership. The host for tonight, Sherwin Hughes from The Truth. So, big event at the Deer District tonight. If you're going out for dinner beforehand, I don't don't know. Is Red Lobster on your list?
No.
Probably not. But
ever.
Red Lobster has exited Chapter 11 bankruptcy, guys.
Yeah, good for them.
New CEO, 35 years old, used to be at P.F. Chang's. Former banker, has this daily routine when he was at P.F. Chang's. He'd wake up at 4 a.m. He'd work until about 6 or 7, 6 days a week. He used all these hours to study all the analytics, look at how every store was doing. Now, based upon Red Lobster and how it's looking right now, he's probably going to need a few more hours in the day. But they got $60 million cash infusion coming. If you're running Red Lobster and you're in this kind of... It's not super high end. It's not low end.
Yeah.
What do you do to drive the business?
That's a great question. I think you've got to figure out how you're talking to your base, right? And what is their base? Right. Families? Because and then you got to start chipping away at the younger people who are coming going out for dates.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's this stigma around some of the older 90s, 2000 chain restaurants, like, you know, the Ponderosas, the Applebee's, the Red Lobsters, where for all intents and purposes, they make really good food,
right,
but they just seem like this sort of dated, archaic experience, and people want something fresh and new. And I think that's one of the big, big struggles that I think they deal with, is just that sort of that brand image and that dated identity.
And if you're probably in that 40 to 60-year-old age range, you think of Red Lobster as something else. Because 20 years ago, it was super high-end. It was the one place in the market you'd go for fresh seafood.
Yeah.
And now, you know, do they go after the low-hanging fruit, which is endless shrimp? But that probably changes
that's what got
the
them into trouble.
Dynamics.
You know, that's one of the reasons why they had to file, because the endless shrimp thing completely backfired.
What I see restaurants in that category of Red Lobster, they, as you described it, are not doing yet. At least I haven't seen it. They're not embracing the different products that younger, late 20s, early 30s are consuming from a beverage perspective. Mm. And I think there's a big opportunity. Even the bars aren't fully moving over to some of this new stuff. I think there's an opportunity there to be more relevant.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Ah, that's good. That's a good point. And stay fresh and high-end with the food, I think, and really just know what you want to be and go all in with that. You can't be all things to all people. You got to pick a lane. And if you get stuck in the middle, it becomes really hard whether you're a super high-end or whether you're a scalable chain or not, because then people don't know what to expect.
Right.
All right, we will see what happens with the future of Red Lobster.
It's like
for
the
sure.
second or third time we brought them up on the show.
We talk about Red Lobster quite a bit.
I'm
here for it.
I remember Red Lobster going with my grandparents, so I feel a sense of nostalgia.
I've never been.
And I want to see it come back.
You know
big
what?
Time.
I'm going to make a commitment between this week and next week to go to Red Lobster.
All right, very good. Right. When we come back, try, take, buy. A new segment that we are going to try out. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Let's give away a gift card to the Mineshaft Restaurant in either beautiful downtown Hartford or just off Highway 41 near the EAA in Oshkosh. Both locations are full of creativity. The dining rooms, you can explore them. You know what? That's why it's called the Mineshaft. Super affordable, a ton of fun, and very family friendly. Our kids love it. Your kids will love it. The grandkids will love the world-class game room, quietly and conveniently set aside from the dining areas. Kids under 5 eat free Monday through Thursday from the kids menu. And every Thursday, that's today, you buy one, you get a second pizza. Say it with me, Martin and Steve.
For free.
Caller number 855-616-1620 gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft. All right. Try, take, buy. We're all about commerce and community here.
Nervous
on the upswing. One thing you need to try, a take on a business or community issue, and something you need to buy. First up, Steve Glenn.
Oh, boy. I got to do all three, or are we going to go around
each
one?
We'll go all three.
All right. So my try, you know I'm partial to the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra. These are the kids.
Mm.
These are the kids.
All right.
But my try is You've got the last half of the year here. People, get out and try a new performing arts group of your choice.
That's wonderful.
Okay, good. What's the next one? Bye.
Take.
All right, I'm going to go politics on this one. I tried to pick the most controversial kind of heated topic, but it's this. Everyone is talking and no one is listening. I implore you. My take is get out and understand your neighbor. Mm. Start to understand others. I'm out trying to get educated on some of these issues, mm-hmm. and all I see is arguing. Let's calm it down.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah.
And you're bye.
All right. I know Martin won't like this one. My wife did not like this one. Ooh. Pixel 9 Pro.
Oh, wow.
I'm considering moving away from Apple.
Oh, man. Wow. Bold choice. I like it.
Yes.
I like it.
All right. Martin Moore, try, take, bye.
All right. Try. Pressure wash your lawn. You own a house. You got leaves, sticks, rocks, all kinds of stuff choking your lawn. Pressure wash it. It sounds ridiculous, but I saw an Instagram reel. I did it. I talk about this all the time off the air. Game changer. Hot take. I'm going to go elections, too. I think that with the massive amount of money that they get in campaign donations, a certain percentage of that should be put towards education. Yeah. Because they're making billions and billions of dollars for this advertising, which could go to education. And I think, the more you raise, the more maybe kids can get some, more books and stuff like that.
Love it.
Buy motion sensing light bulbs for closets and utility rooms. Ooh. Go on Amazon.
What are they going to run you?
They're cheap. You can get like two of them for like $5. But you walk into your laundry room, boom, light turns on. You know, the coat closet, light turns on. Go in your bedroom closet, light turns on.
I mean,
boom.
And they turn off then.
They automatically turn off.
That is news you can use. My try, take, buy quickly. Try. Find one show and own it. Take the selection process out. Own a show. Mine this summer was a show called The Good Place. Highly recommended. My take, lock up phones at schools.
Yes.
I want state, maybe even a national mandate. We did it in the village of Shorewood. Last night, one teacher told me it's been a raging success and changed everything. Finally, bye. If you're a fan of your home team and they make the playoffs, you got to go to a playoff game.
There you go.
Find it. Have that civic pride. Support your hometown team. There is nothing like the playoffs, and they don't happen as much as you think. This is The Upswing. It's the future of almost everything.